Come on, lift up a shout of praise to the King of Kings, to the Lord of Lords. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I declare walls to be broken today. I declare veils to come down today. I declare chains to be smashed off today. I declare healing where there is brokenness. I declare life where there is death. Right now, in Jesus' name. Come on, keep your hands just lifted up for one more moment. Right now, if you need a miracle in your body, we want to speak to that illness. We want to speak to that infirmity. We want to speak to that disease. In the name of Jesus, we bind up the work of the enemy in your life. And we declare in that name that sickness, you are bound and healing must come. Death, you are defeated and life and victory is your portion. Right now, Father, touch bodies, touch minds, touch hearts. In the precious and holy name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Come on. Aren't you glad to be in the house of God? Aren't you glad that you're not doing this alone? If you're alone up here, realize that God has placed you in here so that you can get strength and comfort and encouragement. And regardless of what you are going through, do not isolate yourself. Make sure you draw from the strength of your brothers and sisters. Amen? Well, I have got a treat for you today. We've got a revivalist in the house. Pastor Brad Bonhomme is a good friend. He's the senior pastor of Horizon Church in New South Wales. He plays a key part in the whole New South Wales ACC movement and also is a loving husband and father of two amazing children. He has the privilege and the honor of being our Prime Minister's senior pastor at this point. And so God's trusted him and his church with just great influence and significance. And so it is a privilege and an honor to invite my youth pastor, Sharon's youth pastor from many, many years back, to come to this stage and minister to our people. Pastor Brad, we honor you. Would you welcome Pastor Brad Bonhomme to our pulpit?
All right. So good. How you doing, everyone? Good to see you this morning. Can I have a big smile? Here you go. Show me those Colgate teeth. Awesome. Well, it's great to be with you this morning. You can grab your seats. And it's just a tremendous honor to be here at ACCWA Lift. And of course, there's many, many familiar faces in the room. People that knew me when I was a teenager. And I used to have long flowing hair down to here. And then now I'm kind of just shaved and saved in Jesus' name. And so lots of people that I grew up with through my teenage years and young adult years and so on, and shared many, many amazing God experiences with at youth camps and many things I could tell you about. And so we're just very, very thankful for the investment that many people in this room have actually made into my life and cared for, looked after me, shepherded. And of course, one of those great men of God is, of course, Pastor David and, of course, Sally Storer as well. And so I kind of consider myself somewhat a bit of a son of Western Australia. I grew up 47 San Miguel Drive in Leeming and did all my high school and so on in Leeming. And so now, of course, living in Sydney in the Shire, and just very, very thankful to God for what he's doing through our church. And so just a couple of people I just really want to mention, if I could, before we get into the Word of God today. And of course, just really want to honor Pastors Joel and Sharon as well, who are just absolutely amazing. And Pastor Joel actually preached in my church in January. And it was just, unfortunately, I had to rush off because 3 months ago, my mother passed away. And it just so happened to be on the weekend that Joel was in my church. And so I'm having dinner in Cronulla with Joel. And I'm like, Joel, I got to fly to Perth. Joel took care of my church that weekend. And I was just so comforted that God just kind of knew what was going to happen, that he would have just an awesome man of God who would continue to pastor and shepherd my church, when, of course, I had to be there for my family. So we love you, Joel. We think you're a champion, and the best is yet to come for both you and Sharon. We just honor you, Sharon, and thank you for your leadership in Western Australia, and you are truly building an amazing church. And of course, there's people in the room like Tony McCubbin that I've got to mention. I'll get in trouble if I don't say this stuff, you see. And only kidding, Tony. And of course, Phil and Tracy McCourt as well. Just want to honor you guys. And so many people in the room that I could mention. Many, many great friends. Ken and Chrissy Lee. And of course, Pastors Mark and Jemima Verghese as well. I was just with Mark yesterday in Melbourne, sitting together in a meeting. And Jared and Sue Kean, I sat with him as well too. And so just Western Australia is just littered with incredible people doing incredible things for God. And so just thank you for the awesome opportunity to be here today. Well, we're going to get into the Word of God today. We're on limited time, so we want to make sure that we maximize this moment and really capture what's actually on my heart today. Today I want to actually talk to you about discipleship. I believe that what God is doing on planet Earth at the moment is a revival in the area of discipleship. I think that we live in a generation where young people are coming through the ranks, young adults, where their greatest need right now is to have spiritual parenting, spiritual mums and dads who can walk with them in God's destiny, God's plan and purpose for their lives. So I want to talk to you today about a biblical pattern for discipleship. This is not me trying to say to you that this is the only pattern for discipleship, because you got to get your revelation, but this is something that God in our church journey has birthed within me. It wasn't read or listened to in a great sermon. Of course, that is a great way that God can download. But this is something that the Holy Spirit, come on, has been unlocking. And little by little, we've been on this journey because we want to produce sons and daughters, right? Not just people. We want to have sons and daughters because they are the ones that will make an impact on planet Earth for our Lord Jesus Christ. And so I want to talk to you today about a Spirit-inspired geographical structure from the Word of God. We're going to draw from the story of Elijah and Elisha. Now, it is Elijah's last day on the earth. Come on, you've got to talk back now. He is in a place where he needs to pass on a mantle to a new generation, and that, of course, is Elisha. And so on his last day on the earth, something popped out of the Word of God, and it intrigued me, because out of all things that Elijah could have done to pass the mantle on to the next generation, he takes Elisha through four strategic locations. So we're going to have a look at these locations today. We're going to have a look at what they actually mean as far as discipleship goes. Come on, are there any disciples in the house this morning? And so, if you have your Bibles, if you could turn with me, please, to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 2, verse 1. And we're going to have a look at these four locations, and we're going to see what the Holy Spirit speaks to us out of these strategic locations. 2 Kings, chapter 2, verse 1, and it says, "And it came to pass, when the Lord was about to take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha," and here's the first location, "from," come on, say it with me, "Gilgal." Verse 2, "Then Elijah said to Elisha, 'Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to," second location, "Bethel. But Elisha said, 'As the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, I will not leave you.' So they went down to Bethel." We're going to skip to verse 4, and it says, "Elijah said to him, 'Elisha, stay here, please. For the Lord," here we go, third location. What was the first? Gilgal, Bethel, excuse me. has sent me on to Jericho. But he said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So they came to Jericho. We'll skip to verse 6, and it says, then Elijah said to him, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to, fourth location, to the Jordan. But he said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So the two of them went on. Two generations walking hand in hand through four strategic locations. Let's keep going with the story. Verse 9. So it was, when they had crossed over, that Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I may do for you before I'm taken from you. Come on, this is the heart of every spiritual father. Elisha said, please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. Come on, who wants a double portion of the anointing of God to come on an emerging generation? So he said, you have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so. Thank God for loyalty. Then it happened, as they continued on and talked, that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire. It characterized the nature of Elijah's ministry. He was a man of war. He was a man of possession. Verse 12, and Elisha saw it and cried out, my father, my father. It's the first time in the Word of God that Elisha refers to Elijah as a father. Prior to that, he was the man of God. Prior to that, he was the prophet of Israel. When you can actually relate to someone as a father, not just because of what you can actually get out of them, there is a double portion of the Spirit. The chariot of Israel and its horsemen. So he saw him no more. And he took a hold of his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. He also took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. Four locations: Gilgal, Bethel, Jericho, and the Jordan. It starts off at a place called Gilgal. What's Gilgal known for? Gilgal is known for when the children of Israel had been in their wilderness wanderings for 40 years. They cross over. Joshua's now the leader. And God speaks to Joshua and says, look, before you inherit the land, there's going to be a huge process of circumcision and so on. And the place is called Gilgal. The word Gilgal means a rolling away. A rolling away of shame, a rolling away of disgrace, and a rolling away of the past. In other words, Gilgal symbolized a new beginning. Now, what I want you to observe this morning is that Elijah takes a young generation. Come on, who's with me this morning? He's walking with a young generation, and the place that they actually start at is not the place of faith. They actually start at new beginnings. They start at a place where the old has gone and the new has come. I don't know if you remember your beginning. My beginning was at the age of 14, growing up here in Perth. I was invited to a church in Gurrowen, which Phil and Tracy are now the pastors of. I came from a non-Christian family, went along, went to the youth group. There was a man by the name of Steve Fogarty preaching that night. I sat at the back as a 14-year-old, and that was the night I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. And I remember coming to the altar in that church, which I got to preach in a couple of years ago for the first time. That was awesome. And it was at that place that was my beginning. That was my Gilgal. That was my God encounter, where the old had gone and the new had come, and I'd become a new creation in Christ Jesus. We live in a generation where we must shepherd a generation to a place where they are not caught up in the things of the past, the things that hold on to them, the shame and the guilt of the past. We need to shepherd this young generation to a place where they understand, stay with me, the grace of God. There has been in the earth a release of the message of the grace of God. And we have captured that message, and many have embraced it in their churches. And for us, the grace of God has become something in our church and many other churches that I visit, where people are beginning to understand who they are in Christ, their freedom in Christ. The old has gone, the new has come, that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, that my righteousness is not something that I earn or try and work for, but my righteousness is a gift from God. Elijah starts off this young generation at the place called grace. In our church, our new Christians class and so on, which has had over 120, 130 people go through it since the start of this year, we call it right believing. The reason why we call it right believing is because we understand it that if you believe right, you will live right. And so in that place, we unpack for our new Christians the grace of God. We unpack the Father's love. We unpack that you did not choose him, but he chose you and appointed you that you might go and bear much fruit. Gilgal. And so can I encourage us this morning, pastors and leaders, I want you to invest where you can into Gilgal experiences for this new generation. Thank God for Gilgal. Thank God for new beginnings. Thank God where the place of accusation has been broken and the place of disgrace has been smashed by the power of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. They go from Gilgal, and the next location is, of course, Bethel. What's Bethel known for? Well, Bethel, of course, was originally called Luz, and it was a man by the name of Jacob who goes to bed one night and puts his head on this rock as a pillow. Don't ask me why. And he has a dream. In this dream, he sees a ladder going up to heaven and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the ladder. And he wakes up, he has an encounter with God, and he renames the place called Bethel. Bethel, of course, means a house of God. What the Holy Spirit began to unpack as we began to study this and embrace it is they move from Gilgal to a place of encounter. Now, I want to challenge our churches this morning. Are we providing places and spaces in our church for a new generation to encounter the power of God? I love excellence, and I love awesome lighting, and I love beautiful sound, and everything that else that goes with it. But I want you to know that without the power of an encounter, we won't change anything. We need to build into this generation a place where they can encounter the power of God and have an experience with God, because it's in the place of encounter that Jacob, where God speaks over his life, and he says to him, as I was with Abraham, your father, as I was with your great-grandfather, and then Isaac, so I will be with you. And it was in that place of encounter that a declaration was made over his life, and out of that, that's what actually propelled him forward in the purposes of God for his life. We're seeing right now in our youth ministry a revival amongst our young people, a revival amongst our teenagers. We're seeing on a weekly basis around about 20 or so young people, teenagers, giving their hearts to God every single Friday night. Now, this is the great thing. The great thing is they have their fun, and you know, you get all the injury reports after Friday night,
and everything else that goes with it. We got sued twice last year for young people hurting themselves. But what I can tell you, thankfully those laws didn't exist when I was a youth pastor, because this church would not exist today. We would have been bankrupt. We need to give this generation an encounter with God. Our young people come on Sunday nights. The place is packed with teenagers. We're seeing several hundred teenagers coming along on Friday night to our youth ministry. But we're not building our youth ministry on games and whatever else. These young people are having an encounter with God. And we're seeing teenagers from the schools and local community experiencing the power of God. I fear that this generation does not know how to have an encounter with God. It's one of the great things that concerns me at this point in time, is a young generation not knowing how to drink of the Holy Spirit and experience His power and His presence. I believe that God is pouring out His Spirit, but we need to create spaces and places where teenagers can have a Bethel experience. And you know why? Because you'll never have a voice without unless you first heard the voice within. And God speaks over Jacob and says, I'm going to raise you up. I'm going to multiply you. I'm going to advance you. Where did all that happen? It happened in the place of encounter. Can I challenge you? How are you going with your encounters at church? How are you going creating space and margin to say, Holy Spirit, do what you want to do. Speak into hearts. Speak into lives. Minister change. Do what only you can do. Holy Spirit, have your way. Breathe upon your people. Come on, we are people of the Holy Spirit. We are people who want an encounter with the Spirit of God and the power of God and the anointing of God. These are not old things from the 90s. These are things that God is doing today, and He's pouring out His Spirit on all flesh. And Sunday nights in our church is the night, and of course we do this in mornings as well, but nights, our people know that it's encounter. It's where you experience tangible presence. But do you know what's amazing? We're still seeing people save every Sunday night. We're still seeing young people jam and pack the place. We're still seeing young adults. They're not being scared away or driven away because we've created space and place. They are so hungry for God that in the praise and worship, the altar's just jammed with young people wanting an encounter with the Holy Spirit. Come on, pastors, let's never forget Bethel. Let's never forget the place of encounter. They start off at Gilgal. They go to Bethel. Then the next location is, of course, Jericho. What's Jericho known for? Jericho is the place where God, of course, speaks to Joshua. He says to him, we're going to take this thing on, but this is how we're going to do it. I want you to march around, everyone on the last day, they clap, shout, walls are going to come down. Now, in the natural, we kind of get used to this because we've read the story a million times, you've preached it a million times, but when you actually stop and think about it, it's ridiculous. Walls don't come down because people clapped and shouted and someone was a really good trumpet player. Jericho is the place where God asks us to obey the ridiculous. It's called the place of faith. Faith never makes sense. This generation that God is raising up, I believe that we got to be careful that we don't do it all for them. We got to make sure that they are engaging in the place called faith. where in the natural, I don't know how it's going to work. I don't know how it's all going to come together. But if I get on my knees and seek God and press into the Holy Spirit and ask for a word from God and allow that word to become more real than the situation, it may seem ridiculous in the natural, but in the supernatural, God has already done it. Why? Because I've received a word from God. It's the place called faith. We'll never do and see what God has called us to see and do without faith. I love hearing all the church planning stories. I say to people about church planning, there's two things. Either you've heard from God or there's something wrong with you. Usually, it's a bit of both. But I love it. Why? Because it's faith. It's people willing to step out and obey the ridiculous. It's people who are willing to say, I'm willing to engage in something that in the natural, I don't know how it's going to work out. I don't know how this is all going to come together. But it's Jericho. It's the place called faith. A number of years ago, when we transitioned, Alison and I served in Adelaide under Ashley and Jane for 13 years. And when God started to stir us about the church and so on for our future, and at that time we didn't know it was Sydney, I remember just really praying one day, and I was at this meeting where Phil Pringle was speaking, and I'm asking God for wisdom. I'm saying, Lord, give me wisdom. How do I transition? If I could have the keyboard player, please. I just felt the Holy Spirit right then. So how do I transition from this location to the next? Because this was the issue. I didn't know what next was. Now, we were lead pastors of a great church, had a mortgage. How do you engage in the future when you don't know what the future is? But it's just stirring. Something's moving. It's shifting in the spirit. So Mark Lassie, of all people, from Kingdom City, he goes, Brad, I've got a word for you. I see your hands on two things, and God's saying, you got to let go of this one in order for this one to open. Now, I haven't told him that yet, but maybe Rachel, you can pass it on to him. And I knew straight away God was saying, you've got to let go because I'm about to do something great. So I'm in this meeting with Phil Pringle, and I'm saying, Lord, give me wisdom. I need wisdom in this situation. Bible says, if any of us lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. He gives to all people liberally, and he does not withhold. I need wisdom. I was praying that every day. So I'm in this meeting. I'm on the second row, and Phil Pringle's preaching, and he stops, and he says, Brad, I got a word from God for you. You've been praying for wisdom. The Holy Spirit says, stop. What you should be praying for and asking God for is courage. What you need is courage. What you need, and he kept saying, is courage. You need courage. You need faith. You need faith. Can I challenge us this morning? We are people of faith. We are people. We don't walk by what we see. We walk by faith. With our senior pastors in the next session, which I'm really excited about, I'm going to talk to you about our faith journey as a church, where debt was supremo and the congregation was in a challenging place, but what we had was a word from God. We had faith. All right? Can I challenge your faith this morning? Can I challenge your faith this morning? Can I challenge you that this year to step into things and to do things that in the natural seems ridiculous, but in the supernatural, it's possible. It's possible in God if we're willing to be a people of faith. They start at Gilgal. They go to encounter Bethel. And he brings him to a place called Jericho, the place of faith. But it doesn't stop there. They go to the fourth location, which is, of course, Jordan. It's at Jordan that the mantle is passed on to a new generation, and a double portion comes on a new generation, the next generation. I'm praying, my heart is that this generation of young people, young adults that we're seeing come through the ranks, that a double portion of the Spirit of God would come upon them, but we must lead them through these strategic, Spirit-inspired locations. You can't bypass the process, and it's in the place of Jordan that something supernatural happens. Now, stay with me in this. So this mantle falls on Elisha. Elisha, of course, picks it up, and he crosses over the Jordan. And I want you to observe the first miracle after he had crossed over the Jordan that Elisha was engaged in. The people come to him and they say, Elisha, the waters of the city are polluted, the women are barren, people are dying because they're drinking the water. He gets some salt, he throws it into the water, and the Bible says that the waters of the city was healed. What we're about to see is young people who come through that God is raising up, who won't just touch areas, who won't just touch locations, but the waters of the city will be healed. Come on, the waters of the city will be healed in Jesus' name. I was in a meeting 2 weeks ago with a guy who heads up Empower 21. It's a world Pentecostal organization. It's based out of Oral Roberts University. It's huge, huge in South America, huge in Africa. And Oral Roberts University did a study of, and they compared the needs of young people and young adults from 10 years ago, and they just did the study again this year. Well, 10 years ago, the list was vastly different to today. Number 5 on the list 10 years ago was spiritual parenting. Today, the number 1 thing on the list was young people are craving spiritual parents. I just think right now we have this most incredible opportunity to walk a young generation, to take Elisha and walk him or her from one location to the next. Why? So that the waters of the city might be healed. Come on, let's all stand up on our feet this morning. I just want to release this morning this discipleship anointing. I want to release something that says, Holy Spirit, you know, right now there are people. Come on, the Holy Spirit is talking to me right now. He's saying, God, my heart is to disciple. My heart is to raise up and release. But there isn't anyone. You know what we're going to pray for this morning? Come on, I feel the Holy Spirit. We're going to pray that God gives you Samuel's eyes, that he might open up your eyes to see, hey, there's David right there. You need Samuel's eyes. Come on, you need the eyes of the Holy Spirit. You need God to unlock and say, it's him, it's her, it's that group. It's that group of young people. Come on, who loves young people in the house this morning? Who loves teenagers? Who loves young adults? We want to raise them up. We want to release them so that we can see the waters of the city healed. Come on, something's happening right now in the Holy Spirit. Something's happening. There's a move. There's a shift in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would give people Samuel's eyes this morning, to be able to see and to hear and to know exactly who you're speaking about and what you're saying and what you want to do. We declare that in Jesus' wonderful, wonderful name. So good. This is what we're going to do. Pastor Joel has asked if we could have just the ministry time, which I love. But this is what I want to pray for. I want to pray for couple of things. Number one, I want to pray that God would open up our hearts and eyes as pastors. Excuse me. To be able to see those that he has his hand upon. That he would give us Samuel's eyes. Come on, I'm prophesying over someone right now. There is a David in your midst. You don't need to go out. It's in already. All they need is a mom and dad who will love them and who will walk them through these locations in Jesus' name. Notice that Elijah never gave up on Elisha, even when he took him through Jericho. He continued to walk with him. Come on, that's a word for someone this morning. Don't give up on him yet. Stay with him. I don't know who that's for. I want to pray that God would stir our hearts to give us Samuel's eyes to see. You know, when I was a youth pastor, you know what I was driven by? Do you want me to tell you what I was driven by? When I was a youth pastor in this church, I believe that every single one of my young people would be the greatest young person that the world has ever seen. I actually believed it. Come on, we've got to believe in this next generation. I believed it. So we're going to pray that God gives us Samuel's eyes. Secondly, some of you this morning, when you hear messages like this, you're like, Lord, have you seen my youth group? It's up the creek. We got like 3 people. That's okay. You know why? You know what's awesome? This youth group, back in the day, started like that as well. But Phil and Tracy, they gave, kept giving. And God little by little added, kept adding. And God raised up other people, kept adding. And all of a sudden, we're having these crazy youth camps at a place called Woodman Point, which I don't even know exists. Don't give up. Come on. God can work a miracle. Don't give up. So that's the second thing. The third thing I want to pray for, if it's okay, Pastor Joel, I just sense transition in the spirit. There's transition happening in locations. Lots of transition. In fact, that's the word of the Lord right now. There's transition that's happening. Transition in your churches, transition in what you're going through. It's okay. It's all good. God's up to something great. But don't jump, is a word for someone. Don't jump into the next phase too quickly. Take your time. Little by little by little, God's up to something great. Pastor Joel, can we open up the altars this morning to pray for people this morning? So the worship team's going to lead us, the Holy Spirit. Come on, who can sense the anointing this morning? In Jesus' name. There you go. Come, Holy Spirit. We're going to open up. If you want to be prayed for, if you want people to stand with you in faith this morning, in faith.